that imagination is a very, very good tool for the Yetzer Hara. So therefore, why do we have imagination? Why didn't the Chazal that davened, that prayed that there shouldn't be any more a Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship, which was so strong at the time, so strong that you can't judge people, that when the Chachamim were discussing Menashe HaMelech, King Menashe, who was a big idol worshiper, but a huge Talmid Chacham, he appeared to him in a dream and asked him a question which the rabbi didn't know the answer of. And then the rabbi asked him, so if you're such a Talmid Chacham, how could you have been such an idol worshiper? And he answered, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you would have lived in my time, your Yetzer Hara for idol worship would have been much, much bigger, and you would have run, picked up your cloak, and run to do Avodah Zarah more than me. And it shows that it was something impossible to surmount, to be stronger than. I heard, the first time I heard it was from a rabbi from Breslav, but then I heard it from many, many chachamim. Why the detail? You would have picked up your cloak and your coat and run to the Avodah Zarah. Very nice idea. It would have been enough to say you would have run to do more Avodah Zarah than I did in my life, than I did idol worship. And the answer is because we had long robes and we were hoping to stumble on the way and not to get to the Avodah Zarah that we want to get to. But you would have picked up your coat to be sure that you get there. At Kedekar, to such a point, it was something strong. So the question is, what about Dimayon? What about imagination? Imagination is such a thing that disturbs our sechel, our brain. And the answer is that most of the mitzvot are done with the imagination. If we have a mitzvah to feel as if we came out of Egypt every year at the time of Pesach, we come out of Egypt. It's two things. It's first of all, we have to imagine it and we have to teach the children about it in details, and every detail is important because the more you go into details, the more you feel the main idea of Pesach is to have gratitude to Hashem, because it's unbelievable what he did. Nobody else ever came out of Egypt. So how do you feel gratitude? By going into details. If you don't go into details, then you know, we went out of Egypt. So imagination helps you relive it. The other idea is that we are constantly continuing to go out of Egypt. Egypt being metzarim, being what is narrow in us, what isn't with a broader view, with a wish to get close to Hashem, etc. So every year we get out of Egypt more and more and more until, and that's why Lehavi Limot HaMashiach, the goal is to get to our project, to our purpose, which is to go to Mashiach and to the salvation of the whole world and to be a light unto the nations, etc. So therefore, by learning about it, we help using the imagination and getting into the subject of Pesach. I want to read you just as well something very short, which is the leitmotiv of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, which was really written for his children on Shabbos afternoon. This story comes back when they wrote, the Midrash says, in the introduction they say, well, I know the authors. It's written the name of a man, but it's mostly his woman, his wife, that wanted to write it. It was as well to give literature to their children for Shabbos. Then later on you had the little Midrash says and everything. But in Sefer HaChinuch, he goes into something very interesting. In connection with the Korban Pesach, he says, it takes me 1 minute. Sorry, half a minute. It's of course in Shemot, because Bereshit has almost no, it goes, it's for those that don't know, most people know, Sefer HaChinuch is a basic book with all the mitzvot according to the parashiot, according to the sections of the week, and it goes into four paragraphs. telling you what the mitzvah is, from which pasuk it's derived, then telling you the root of the mitzvah, the idea of the mitzvah which is behind, which is so beautiful. Then it tells you whether you use, whether we still do it today, whether it's for men and women, whether it's at the time of the Beit HaMikdash or not, etc. So when it goes to this important mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, of the Paschal Lamb, which we offer on the 14th in the afternoon, there is something in all the mitzvot connected, because there are about 5-6 mitzvot at least in connection with the Korban Pesach. And for example, to carry no flesh of the Passover offering outside the home. There is another one. There are so many with one hand. One minute. Not to leave over, to leave over no flesh of the Passover offering, etc., etc. Many, many mitzvot, which we could make 5 lessons out of just all the symbolism of the Korban Pesach nowadays that we don't have a Korban. But something that comes back all the time when he speaks about the root of the mitzvah is, it's to, we leave no flesh, to be like the way of kings and noblemen, who need not leave over any prepared food of theirs for one day to the next. You remember in Megillat Esther, when it says that the big banquet of Achashverosh was 180 days, and then it tells you as well that it's Yamim Rabim, it's a lot of days. Don't you? You need to know from the Tanakh, so elliptic usually, that 180 days of banquet, no stop, is a lot of days. If not, we would know, right? So the Midrash says, because the first day was like the last day. Every day they threw everything, and then they began again. Just the opposite of what we are doing. Especially second and third generation, right? We don't throw food. And for sure, we don't have a banquet of 180 days. So, but here it says, like the way of kings and noblemen. And again, to carry no flesh of the Passover offering outside the home, this is a manner of kings of the land. For all that is prepared for them is eaten in their palaces, etc., etc. Not to break any bone, for it is not a way of honor for royal princes and counselors of the land to scrape the bones and break them like dogs. I feel bad. Sometimes I take 2 fingers and I finish the food, right? So, not like a king. So, on Pesach, let's try. The night of the Pesach, we don't have such a problem because we only boil. So either it's meat or it's, even if it's chicken, but it's boiled, so you don't have to, you know, to scrub. But it's to be like kings, to feel free people, to feel. Why all those mitzvot, not just one mitzvah to tell you, all those mitzvot telling you over and over to feel like kings, to feel like free people, you know, the mesubin and all these things. So he goes into this thing. Now do not think, my son, to seize upon my words and ask, but why should Hashem command us to do all these things in order to commemorate this miracle? Would the matter not have entered our consciousness? And consciousness is Melech, is the 3 things we just heard about, right? Through one commemoration, and thus not be forgotten out of the mouth of our descendants, etc. And now, my son, and this comes back through the whole Sefer HaChinuch. In the English one, excellent, you have 5 volumes, and it's very worthy reading it, because he uses the Minchat Chinuch, which is an explanation on the Sefer HaChinuch, but without doing it in a man's way, like with pilpul and everything. So, now, my son, if you have understanding, hear this. Incline your ear and hearken. I will teach you of the Torah and the precept for your benefit. Know that a man is influenced in accordance with his actions. His heart and all his thoughts are always drawn after his deeds in which he is occupied, whether they are good or bad. And he goes into a whole thing that if a tzaddik does things which are not perfect, he becomes a not tzaddik. And if a rasha does good things, it will change him. Right? Ki achare ha-peulot nimshachim ha-levavot. Because after the acts, the hearts continue. The famous story of the Chazon Ish that told somebody who had a lot of questions that were like leading towards non-believing. He said, buy a bigger talit katan. Now, I would be frustrated from such an answer. But in his Chochmah, the Chazon Ish saw that the guy was not looking for answers, but for terutzim. The famous word of Rav Chaim Shmulevich, are you looking for a teshuva or for a terutz? It's a play on word in Hebrew, which means for a pretext, for an excuse. You know, you're asking the question because you're looking. And by doing, even if it's hard, the best example is davening. You know, you have such muzzle, you know to pray. I'm not inspired, I don't know to pray. If I feel that I feel like praying, then I'll pray. And of course, it's by praying that we learn how to pray, and not the opposite. So therefore, whatever we learn on all these things, between the subject of dimayon, which is that we try to picture it in all its details, the example is dayenu, right? Dayenu is like going into all the details of from the time we were promised that we're going out till really the end, in order to have more gratitude, to feel like tears in the eyes from the greatness of Hashem who took us out of an impossible situation. And that's the first thing. And number two, by learning all those details and understanding all the symbolism, we have the name Seder for example, Rosh Hashanah as well. What's going on with Rosh Hashanah? It's not halakha. Here it's much, much more serious. Some people have only in Europe, you know, they didn't have all those marvelous vegetable and fruit and etc. So they had the apple, they had the fish head, and they had a few things only. What's going on with this? We have on Tu Bishvat lately, it's much more the Sfaradim and the Hasidim after the Arizal go into a whole Seder of Tu Bishvat. This reminds of this. The pomegranate, everybody knows, goes with all the mitzvot. The grains are the names of the number of the mitzvot, etc. It's called a Seder. We do a Seder in our head because imagination leads to something else. A human being is a person of associations. The main example is why is the tzitzit, the chut, the thread of the tzitzit blue? Because blue reminds of the sea, and the sea, of course, reminds of the heavens, and the heavens, of course, remind of Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory. Isn't it? Everybody, when you see blue, for sure you think of Hashem, right? Because you think of the sea, which thinks of the But it's to teach us something. What is it teaching? That people are people of associations, and we can't deny it. The whole subject of tzniut is based on this. All kinds of things are based on this, that you have to be careful with your eyes, you have to be careful with your heart, because it goes on. And once it goes on, you can't stop it, right? So based on these basic points, we can go into the beautiful symbolism of the Seder. So, for example, I'm skipping meanwhile, I'm just running after time. I hope we'll have the time to do it. But I put, the truth is, I didn't take so seriously to have a lot of sources because I had Rachmanut. We're all so tired. We're already cleaning. We want something nice. We don't want the hardest and the most intellectual today, right? But still, we have a Pesach plate. So we have the Zeruah. And the Zeruah, which reminds us, it doesn't have to be from a sheep. It doesn't have, it's just a bone to remind us of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach reminds us of all the Mesirut Nefesh that the Jews had. Everybody knows what is Mesirut Nefesh, right? They were ready to do unbelievable things and not to be afraid of the Egyptians, for whom the Roah, the lamb, the sheep, was an Avodah Zarah. Go to India and touch a cow in certain places. God forbid, we'll be lynched. Not whereas if we touch a person, maximum, you know, we'll be told to stay away. That's the maximum. So here they had the courage to do because Hashem said. So even though Pesach is a festival where Hashem did most of the work, not like usually when we do. That's why when we speak about the Omer in Parashat Emor in Vayikra chapter 23, we say Usefartem lachem. We begin speaking about the Omer. Usefartem lachem mimochorat ha-shabbat, miyom haviochem et Omer ha-tnufa sheva shabbatot tumimot yena, ad mimochorat ha-shabbat ha-shvit tisperu 50 yom. The whole pasuk is not important. I like to say a whole pasuk, but a whole verse. But usefartem lachem, you shall count mimochorat ha-shabbat, from the day after Shabbat. And it's not true. This week it's true. This year it's true. So this year the Karaites are not, God forbid, different than us. But usually, if Pesach is on a Monday, so we begin counting Tuesday. We don't begin counting the Omer the day after Shabbat. But one of the beautiful explanations is that Pesach is different than the other festivals. Shabbat's every seventh day of the week. From the time of the creation of the world is Shabbat. A Yom Tov depends on the moon. And the moon depends on the Beit Din. Of course it depends on Hashem. Hashem brings the moon every once a month. But still, it could be depending on the witnesses, one day or the other. That's how we have the 2 days Yom Tov in Chutzaretz, etc. It didn't come. So, in a certain sense, the concept is that Yom Tov, we do something, and Hashem responds, help yourself and heavens will help you. Hitoruta dil tata, compared to hitoruta dil ela, which in Aramaic means, you do something and Hashem will react to you. Shabbos is not the case. Shabbos is there whether you want it or not every seventh day. So we call Pesach, Mochorat HaShabbat, Shabbat, and not Yom Tov, because Pesach has a little bit of this. What does Pesach have? Pesach, if Hashem would have helped us to be able to go out of Egypt, we would have never managed to do it, because we needed to be taken out of the dirt to be able to begin cleaning ourselves. We come, and that's why we have 49 days to respond to the 49 days of impurity that we got into. Yeah, I'm going very fast, and we could explain every concept much longer. And therefore, but still, Hashem needs one feeling that we want at least to get out. We want at least to get out. And how do we show this? With the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is showing that we decided now we are changing, we're trusting Hashem 100%. He tells us that he's going to help us get out, so we bring 4 days in daytime that the Egyptians should see it. This is the Zeroah, this is the Korban Pesach. Why roasted and not cooked? Besides the fact that kings eat roasted food, is because roast get something more together. Cooked, it becomes disparate, you know, but more together, the unity of the people was the most important thing. Another idea, the first chapter in Shemot, Ka'asher ya'anu oto, ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz, meaning the more they were suffering, the more they became strong. We always say, you know, the generation of was stronger than ours. We're spoiling the children, it's a reaction, but they are weaker than our great grandfather or grandparents that were, or even our parents, a lot of us, you know, that were so strong. We talked about it so many times because chas v'shalom, we don't ask for it. Al tevienu lidei nisayon. Don't bring us tests. But if they come, it means we have to deal with it. And what's the point of making mistakes? You know, I have in the kitchen a little panel, right? A little piece of paper where it's written, what's the point of making mistakes if it's not to learn from them, right? Yeah, we ended the shiur, you said something, it reminded me of Rav Huttner saying, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, 7 times a tzadik falls and he gets up. But not he falls and he gets up. It's because of his falling, through his falling, that his getting up is higher every time. And the Rasha doesn't have to get up because he fell and he stays fallen for a lifetime. So he doesn't get up. He doesn't get up a seventh time because there is no first time. He falls and he feels very good in that fallen situation. There everything is permitted, okay? So that's the Zeroah. That's the Zeroah. By the way, the tribe of Levi suffered less and had less children. And in a certain sense, we see that the bracha went more to those that suffered more. Again, nobody is asking for suffering. There is plenty without asking. But this is the Zeroah. And we spoke about the Beitza. And the Beitza is, again, what is the symbolism of the Beitza? Anybody knows? What? Yeah. The Avelus is only a sub thing. The Avelus, the mourning. Why are we mourning? Yeah, but why are we mourning?
Because we don't have the
Korban Pesach. Yeah, it's the remez, the hint the symbolism of the beitza, of the egg, we burn it a little bit. It's not a halacha, it's all minhagim, is a hard-boiled egg. The first time I got married, you know, I helped a lot at home, but my mother was responsible. So the first time when I got married and I made my first Pesach myself already, you know, it's not like today one goes to the parents for 20 years and everything. So I took an egg and I put it on the oven. I forgot to make it hard. I'm not telling you what happened. Whenever I tell it to my students, they always remember. There are a few things like that I always tell, and they come 20 years later telling me thank you because they didn't do it because I told them. My mother did it. I never looked at the details, right? So you make a hard-boiled egg and you a little bit burn it, that it should remind of a korban, and it's korban chagiga, which is for the chagim. And I have asked so many people, what's the connection? And the connection, finally, I found, comes from the word chag, which means a circle. Machog is a compass. Mechoga, you know, is a... where you have north, south, east, west, a compass, yes. Because in French, compass is whatever. So you have. This is to teach you that there is a cycle of the chagim. Every two chagim we would take out, you know, of a game, you could make connections. Of course, Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur, everybody knows. And here, like you said, here we have an egg which reminds us of Tisha B'Av. And what is this bizarre Tisha B'Av connected with Pesach? What? Because we don't have today the Korban Pesach, we don't have the temple and everything. Because on the same year, the first night of Pesach is always the same night as Shavuot. So you know already without a calendar that Shavuot, that Tisha B'Av will be on a Shabbos. So we will fast only on Sunday. Shabbat Chazon, you know, will be there. And we'll only fast on Sunday, which is Nitre, which makes it easier to find a heter if you don't feel well. So don't fast if you don't feel well, right? It's not Midoraita, only Yom Kippur. It's not from the Torah. It's from the Chachamim, okay? But what is this morning thing? Don't you remember? Maaseh yadai tovim bayam v'atem omrim shira? My creatures are falling in the sea. Nobody is happy from anybody dying. We don't feast Purim on the day when we killed enemies. We feast it the day after. Because a Jew doesn't like killing. It's very hard for him. Look at Shaul HaMelech. He didn't manage to do it fully. It's not in our DNA. It's not in our makeup. We are not sharks that are excited by blood. And we have seen neighbors that there are certain nations that are like that. So my creatures are falling in the sea. I remember once reading in the paper something very tragic about a boat that sank. And I had a group of non-religious people, not at all. And they told me, but it's only goyim. I almost fainted, you know. Maaseh adai tovim bayam. My creatures are drowning in the sea. I have no choice because that's the only way they won't kill the Jews. Ve'atem omrim shira. And you say a shira? Question. Didn't he say a shira? Az yashir Moshe uvenei Yisrael. He did say shira. So what's going on? Hashem is telling not to say shira and they're saying shira. So what's going on? I said it many times. Yes? So why did Hashem in that case say not to say Shira? I understand that a person can say a Shira, you can go to a Levaya, Nebuch, and go to a Simche, to a Chasana the same day. You can, and that's what a Jew is capable of. That's what a human being is capable of doing. Our brain is complex, we can do both. The answer is because Hashem never said to men, Maaseh adai tovim bayam v'atem omri Shira. Hashem never said it to men, he said it to the angels. And here is a beautiful idea what an angel is. An angel is like a computer, a havdil. An angel doesn't have a free choice. An angel becomes his mission. So if he's saying Shira, he's happy. Quote, you know what I mean? I don't know what angels are, and you don't know what angels are. But if he says Shira, he's happy. If he cries, he cries. He is the whole thing. He doesn't have that complexity that man is capable of both. And that's why Hashem prefers, quote, you have to understand, men to angels. That's why in Zechariah, in the Haftarah of Chanukah, and of Parashat Behaalotcha, in that the only time we have the same Haftarah twice, right? After the, we have V'hayu lecha mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ele. And you will have, thank you. Thank you very much. And we, no, yes, thank you. We will, you will have mehalchim. You'll be able to walk amongst those standing. The angels are called standing. They stay on the same madriga. You know, they say to each other, and they see Hashem from so close that they don't have a free choice. We live in a world of hiddenness, and we have to wear the right glasses to see the open Hashem in the hiddenness. But the angels don't have that type of work. So therefore, they shouldn't say Shira. We can't say Shira, because exactly like you said, we can be happy that we were saved by... By sadly, you know, there is nothing that frightens me more than the fact that the mosque is on the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Because there is no choice but to take off one to get the other one, right? It frightens us. Hashem will deal with it. But it's not easy, do you understand? Because that's not our nature. We're not happy to get rid of something. Okay. So this is the Beitza. So that's the morning of the Beitza. That's the Korban Chagiga, because the Beitza is round, the egg is round, and there is a cycle between all the festivals, because the Jewish calendar is made for men to always have something to work on. It's beautiful, again, because of associations and everything. There is one more idea, if already, which I'll tell you, which I like so much. It's a Chatam Sofer that says that... Would there not have been that we couldn't have remained in Egypt one more second? You know, ilu lo hotziyanu mimitzrayim hare anu vanenu vnei vanenu meshubadim hayinu lefaro bemitzrayim. If you wouldn't have taken us then, and that's the whole idea of time again, chipazon, very fast, and everything, we would still be in Egypt. I don't know if it means we would still be slaves. I don't know if there are slaves in those parts of the world. I don't know if it means in Egypt specifically, but we wouldn't have been capable to get out anymore. So he had to get us out. So of course there is one answer that the 400 years begin with Avraham Avinu, who felt so much. He wasn't one of those kings that say, after me the flood, who cares? Or people that say, I just want my pocket and my everything, and after me who cares what happens to the country. Avraham Avinu felt as if it's happening to him because he loved his descendants which were not yet there. So that's 400. There are many, many explanations, but one of the explanations is that there was no choice. He had to take us out after 210 years. And therefore, he didn't take us out after 400 years. So those 190 years had to still be used, because in order to be totally purified, like metal has to be purified by fire, lo aleinu, we needed more exile, like somebody that would need a treatment. But the treatment might work, but the person won't be there anymore, chas v'shalom. So you have to stop it, give him strength again, and begin again. And that's why we have all the other galuyot. So Tisha B'Av is the concept of the other galuyot, the other exiles, and that's why we remind it on the Seder plate, because we were saved after 210 years. This is the Chatam Sofer. It's very beautiful. You understand? It's only one explanation. There are other explanations that the 210 were strong enough that it was like 400. Okay? Beseder. So that's one thing. The karpas, as you know, the karpas is a concept of an appetizer. You know, everybody wants more. We have to eat less than a kazait, but we're hungry. We want more. Right? And then, so the appetizer is Moshe Rabbeinu coming to them and putting in them a concept of a possibility to be saved. And then nothing is happening, and they are getting more and more nervous, but at least the idea entered their mind. And this in education is so important for children as well. You don't do something without preparation. You prepare them, you put in their mind that they might one day be saved, and from then on they can't wait anymore. Now they really want to be saved. And before they were like, already they were born in exile. They were born, some were born and died in exile. So they don't even know something else. They don't know better. They have never seen something else. Is it clear? So that's the karpas. And the charoset, which reminds of those bricks, it doesn't only remind of the bricks, it reminds of that marvelous concept of Paro gave the Jews many, many decrees, one worse than the other. And it's based on Psukim. I'm not going into it now. But the last terrible, terrible decree was after Moshe asked for an easier situation. And instead, Paro said, from now on, you have to bring your straw yourself. And here is that marvelous idea. Why should the straw be a harder decree than stones the size of the stones of the Kotel? The stone of the Kotel breaks the back, kills a person. The straw, you have a bag and you put straw in it, right? So why is it in order of strength and the straw is the last one? And based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, I'm not now going into the whole thing, there is this marvelous idea that after you carry stones like the stones of the Kotel, 100 people together or whatever, whether you want it or not, you have to sit, drink water, and wait. You can't immediately, even if there is a gun, and this is what happened during the war, people just could not go on. And the gun go on, so they tried, but they fell. The march of Auschwitz and all kinds of things. When you can't, you can't. They had to stop. No choice. And when you stop, after a while, you have a little bit of time to think. But the straw is something so easy. But on the other hand, there was so much straw that needed to be picked. So every moment that they were eating, that they were trying to sleep, that they were doing whatever, not working hard, they knew that they have the responsibility to get straw. So straw, 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 straw. It was a genius idea of Paro not to give them a second, a quarter of a second to think for themselves. And that was a genius of Moshe when he asked for a Shabbos where they would read scrolls of being saved. Because if you don't think, if you're so busy with shtuyot, with this, right? Or with being addicted to all kinds of things nowadays. After the Satan proposed us all the best thing on earth, and we know by now that there is nowhere else to go, that there is nothing better than our life. We're not selling Olam Haba, we're selling Olam Hazeh. We see how those kids, they have empty eyes, they don't know what they're looking for, and they go into overdosage, and they this, and they that. But now the Satan has one more marvelous tool, not to give us time. So many entertainments, so many addictions, so many buttons, so many lost time with Shtuyot, Zmira, right? That we don't think. And if we don't think, he has us in his hand. So the straw is not leaving us a second that we don't have to find straw. Do you understand the idea? That's the charoset. The charoset is not only, you know, a very good food that people make the mistake to think that when you eat it, you have to put 2 spoons of it. You just dip it into it and you even take it off. And the rest for tomorrow lunch as a dessert or as a first dish or whatever you want. But this is the charoset. You get it. Okay? So you see, I'm not even going on because it's so beautiful. The maror, everybody understand. Miriam is born at the time when the mar of the bitterness of Egypt was the most. Miriam, mar. Maror. And of course, you know as well that the lettuce, which is usually used, others use other things. Lettuce is better than horseradish because you can have the amount necessary. You can have the amount necessary. But the begins being very sweet, but when you get to the what they call the heart of the salad, it's bitter. And the avodat parech, which means very hard work, Rashi, men doing women's work, women doing men's work, which is a concept of thinking, of doing things that don't have any purpose, they don't have any meaning, which are just shtuyot, you know what I mean? They say about a person that once saw that his work after a lifetime had been for nothing in the air, he just died, just fainted and died because a person is in search of meaning, Viktor Frankl. So therefore, you have here Avodat Parech. There are many, many other ideas with Avodat Parech, but one is a Midrash, Perach, soft mouth. What he did, first he said beautiful, nice things. And then later on, when they prove themselves. The Jews always want to be in good terms with the authorities, and they are still naive to think that one loves them, right? For sure. One loves them if it's good for them. So it became bitter. So Perach begins soft and ends up bitter. So that's for the Seder plate, okay? But that's just for the Seder plate. Now I have the choice, either to go into the names or to tell you a beautiful idea, which I, a few years ago, said once before Pesach. Again, I don't mind. The Chatam Sofer, again, it's the Chatam Sofer. I don't know why. Yeah, there are many others that are. The Kli Yakar is wonderful. A lot of the Maharal is unbelievable. The Kli Yakar goes into the Seder of the night of the Seder and says that besides, it's so beautiful, besides all these things that we learn about Pesach for ourselves, we are learning the Seder HaChayim from the Seder of Leil HaPesach. Ma ze Seder HaChayim? How to deal with our lives. It's beautiful. He says, we have 15 words, right? Like the 15 Madrigot steps that go, that the Levim are on, right? If you're a Levi, or your husband is a Levi, or your father is a Levi, or whatever, and you don't know to sing, don't worry. They had two jobs. One was the singing, and one was the opening the gates, which as well is a very deep concept of opening the shoarim. There was a levim as well. Huh? So if you don't sing well, it doesn't matter. You can still be a shoer, okay? And a lot of them sang very beautifully. It was like ruchani, it was spiritual. So the 15 steps which we announced at the beginning of the Seder, Kadesh, Urechatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rachza, Moti, Matzah, etc. So Kadesh is to sanctify. It's the first cup, you know. We could speak now half an hour as well about the four cups. They are as well symbolism. The history is the story of Yosef, who leads us to salvation. Four times the word kos is used in his name. The arba leshonot geula, ve'otzeti, ve'itzalti, ve'galti, ve'lakarti. I took you out, and I saved you, and I redeemed you, and I took you. And like for the arba'a parashiot, which we had shkalim, and zachor, and para, and yesterday we had chodesh, like between para and chodesh, that's why the week before we didn't have anything. There is no permission to have a hafsaka. It has to be one week after the other, the purification, followed by the chodesh, which is the beginning of salvation, right? So in the same way, the four kosot, between the third and the fourth kos, we're not allowed to make a hefsek. Just between the third, we don't have the meal. After the third, we have it before, etc. Because ve'hotzeti ve'itzalti ve'ga'alti, I saved you, right, in all kinds of ways, whatever they mean. Ve'lakarti, and I took you. Because if you're saved without the concept of wanting to be servants of Hashem instead, so what were you saved for? What were you liberated from? God forbid to be liberated for nothing. Then you are like, look at the street. So you have to be, to make no hefsek, no stop between everything that happens between the Ga'alti, I redeemed you, and I took you under my wing, okay, which is the purpose of creation. Without Torah, the world doesn't exist one second. That's why we have Torah in Australia or in South Africa at a different time as now, so that there should be Torah every single minute of the world, right? And there are some kolelim that learn at night, and this and that, etc. So no hefsek. So you see, everything is connected. The four cups as well. Between the third and the fourth cup, no hefsek. Okay. So so Kadesh is the first cup. You have four. The second one is just before Motzi and all these things. The third one is after benching. And the fourth one is at the end, depending on different minhagim. And then you have the Nirtza, which are all those beautiful songs. Echad mi yodea, everybody knows. Chad Gadia, and all those beautiful songs, which are something in itself already beautiful. So we have those four cups. But Kadesh means as well to sanctify oneself. And Rechatz is when when by some the minhag is that the man washes his hands, and by others that everybody washes their hands because we're going to eat the karpas, which is wet. And you know that if you eat some old cake, but still good, and you put it in your coffee, really you should wash your hands before. People don't do it without bracha. But like you wash your hands for motzi, that's what the real halakha is. You should. Okay, but we forget it. Or you, I'm sure you see people washing a fruit and then wiping it. And it comes from this, that you don't want to have it wet in your hand because the seven liquids that at the time of the temple could bring impurity, like electricity, you know, could bring impurity, that's when we are not allowed. So some, only the balabite, the one that dips, washes his hands, by others everybody washes his hands. That's a pshat. But rechat means wash yourself. We see by Megillat Rut that Naomi is telling her to go to Boaz in the middle of the night. And she says to her, v'rachatzt, v'sacht, v'samtzim lotayich alayich. You should wash yourself, you should put ointment, and you should wear a dress. Ruth is a princess. And I doubt whether she would have gone naked. She tells her to put a dress on. I doubt whether she wouldn't have thought of having a shower before. V'rachat, you should wash yourself, you should. So Rashi says, you should wash yourself from any sign of Avodah Zarah from the past, Moav, that you are. And the Sart, you should put ointment, meaning you should take on as many mitzvot as you can. That's positive. So Rachat is always like the no doing, the Lota says, the negative. And Kadesh is to add things. So why is it Kadesh or Rachat and not Rachat the Kadesh, like in Megillat Rut? The Rachat the Sart. And not first the Kadesh and then Rachat. Beautiful. We're in Galut. This Haggadah has been mostly made for Galut. And it's an interesting how it was made and everything. And this concept of not first Sur Merah till the end and then Aseh Tov, because you'll never finish the Sur Merah. You know, I don't want to give a shiur because I don't know everything. So I'll never give a shiur. And I'll get married when I'm totally ready for it. Perhaps I shouldn't live because Chas v'Shalom, because I'm not ready for the life that is requested for me. So you should do the Kadesh at the same time. We had I come from France, we had a rabbi that was brilliant, and before it was a fashion to do Kiruv and everything, and to help people come back to Tshuva, he would take guys from the highest levels of polytechnic school and everything, and he would teach them the Aleph Bet Til Kaf, and send them to teach it till Yud. I'm making almost a joke, but the concept is very, very interesting, that they have to give immediately. You can't be in a vacuum. First, take off. You don't tell a child, it's not good. You tell him, oh, it's great, you could do better, right? So this is very, very important, Kadesh or Rechatz in this order. By the way, one of the explanations of Yaakov twisting his hands for Menashe and Ephraim, Menashe is the oldest, usually because Rashi says because he knew that the descendants of Ephraim would be higher than those of Menashe. But Menashe comes from Nashan Yelokim, he forgot about me, Lo. And Ephraim comes from Perot, Pri. Yeah, he fructified me or whatever you want. So he did this because he's teaching Yosef the Torah of Galut. In Galut, everywhere, in Israel too, and nowadays for sure, we have to do the positive at the same time as the negative. Kadesh Urechatz, says the Chatam Sofer. This is the beginning of everything. You do both at the same time. You don't wait to be perfect to begin. You jump, and you do even when you're not perfect. The job makes a man. The clothes make the man, whatever. So Kadesh, back to the Sefer HaChinuch, that when you do, it helps you getting it in your gut, okay? So Kadesh Rochatz. Karpas Yachatz. Karpas Yachatz. When you have worked on, how many more minutes do I have? Huh? So you know what? So I'll have to do it another time before Pesach. He goes into the whole thing and shows you how to deal with your life, and you learn it from Leila Seder. Okay, I don't want to take from somebody else. Okay?